beware of the swears.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
This is Sideshow, a podcast from Studio 360. I'm Sean Ramisferum. Hello, Kurt Anderson.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
So it's the end of the year, December. This is when all the best of lists come out.
They do.
Why does that happen? How long has that happened?
You know, it didn't happen with such prolific massiveness in my youth. It's a thing that has become more and more done by everybody in every category, since I was a young person.
So what I've noticed is that no one does a best of the internet type list.
Really? Because it's just too old media?
I guess so. Or it's just too hard because you can't definitively say. I mean, you can't really definitively
the
say
the nicest
anything.
Piece of the sea.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to try.
Okay.
By asking everyone else I've interviewed on the show so far what their favorite thing on the internet was, because Sideshow is essentially things that I love on the internet. So why not ask all the guests we've had on? You've never been on Sideshow yet, but I thought I'd ask you.
Here I am.
Here we go. We did it. So one of the things we passed around a bunch at the office here, like a week and a half longer than we'd pass around anything, was Too Many Cooks, which was this like 12-minute long surreal TV sitcom satire.
It takes a lot to make a stew.
A pinch of salt and laughter too.
A scoop of kids to add the spice.
A dash of love to make it nice. And you got
Too many cooks. And what do we love about it?
I mean, if it had just been a 3-minute parody, you'd go, oh, yeah, nice. But the fact that it insanely went on and on and on made it the guy raised the stakes for himself and then met them and upped himself. It was incredible. And when I saw the backstory and saw that he had spent so much time and effort and labor, it is literally, I think, the first viral video that I have ever gone back and looked at again and think about wanting to look at it even again.
Yeah.
And I am a notorious, you know, one-time watcher of things.
Are you a notorious one-time watcher?
I got in big trouble on Studio 360 once for saying that about important movies. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to, like, as I said, go through all these other guests and ask them what their favorite internet was, and it's going to be really exciting. I hope you'll enjoy it.
I can't wait to hear it.
Thanks.
From Sideshow Episode 1, Giving the Perfect GIF, it's Tyler Menzel.
I'm the editorial director of Giphy.com, which is the world's first and best search engine for GIFs.
And so, I mean, was this hard for you to figure out what the greatest thing you saw was?
Yeah, it was actually hard to pick. I really wanted to show you a YouTube video of the Ninja Turtles on Oprah from, like, 1990.
Guys, let me ask you this. Do you sometimes wish that April was a turtle?
Whoa, definitely.
Conceptually, that works for me.
You know, I've been trying to talk her into an interspecies relationship for months now.
Whoa, man.
And I would, like, that was my favorite thing on the internet for a long time, but I think that moment has passed. So the actual thing I want to show you is a website called seehereparty.com. It's see, like with your eyes, hear, like with your ears, and then party, like with your body. So what you do is you go to it, and you enter in a series of tags, like your favorite stuff, like my favorite stuff, pizza. Now it takes, I push next, and it takes me to a SoundCloud link, or you paste in a SoundCloud link, or you can just write anything you want. So I'm going to write my favorite song of this year, which was No Flex Zone. And it asks you party, and of course the right answer is party. So now you. So
what are we seeing?
So right now, what you're seeing is pizza gifts synced up to the song that you entered in, and it's like it's hitting the right beats. It's like you're at literally a pizza party, and now you can just like. Put it full screen, and you can party. That's it. Like, that's it. Part, like, pizza on the screen, party in the room. One of the best things when you start adding multiple tags. So it's like, Sailor Moon, there's a dog on a skateboard, pizza, and then you look at it and you're like, oh, that's what my brain looks like inside. Like, if you were going to cut my head open and look inside, it would look like a a seehereparty.com of No Flex Zone with pizza and Sailor Moon and cats on skateboards.
From Sideshow Episode 9, Rude by Magic is the worst song of the summer. It's Gia Tolentino.
I'm an editor for Jezebel.
Right? How's that going? That's a new thing.
It is a new thing. I just started a couple months ago. It is going great, and it's part of the... But the frustrations that come with it are part of the reason I have come to feel nearly religious about Clickhole.
So what is, for the uninitiated, what is Clickhole and why do you love it?
So Clickhole is basically, it's like The Onion, it's the Onion News Network, but they started it this year to be basically a send-up of BuzzFeed. So it's like The Onion in that the bylines are fake, which is part of why it's wonderful. You know, it's not people trying to make a name for themselves. It's just like, it's just the best website on the internet. And all websites in comparison are absolute garbage, including the one that I work for.
So in addition to making fun of listicles, they're making fun of like the quizzes and the celebrity gossip. I mean, one of them right now on the homepage is article 8 things all surgeons whisper to you once they're sure you're under anesthetic.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've read the about page ever. It goes, let's be honest. Today, the average website carelessly turns out hundreds of pieces of pandering, misleading content, most of which tragically falls short of going viral. Clickhole has one core belief, all web content deserves to go viral. And so it has this sort of like stance that really reflects the overwhelming meaninglessness that I sometimes feel when I'm looking at the internet, you know, like it's like incredibly funny in how much it skewers the general meaninglessness of everything.
The best article I saw, it was called The Time I Spent on a Commercial Whaling Ship Totally Changed My Perspective on the World. And
Oh my God, it's the full text of Moby Dick.
Right. It was written by a sailor named Ishmael. And
oh
it's
my
just,
God, it's the funniest. I mean,
it's perfect. It's perfect.
It's the best website.
I mean,
yeah, and it has like, you know, like when BuzzFeed introduced that slider where you can, you know, like pull across, so they'll do like celebrity, like before and after, or whatever, like amazing makeup transformations.
Yeah.
And Clickhole's version is just, where did these daddies go? It's pictures of guys like playing peekaboo. It's amazing.
I read last week that a Clickhole writer left Clickhole to go to BuzzFeed.
I know, for BuzzFeed.
That's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
From Sideshow Episode 5, Gay of Thrones and the TV Recap Revolution, it's Jonathan Van Ness.
The Star of Funny or Die's recap show on Game of Thrones, it's called Gay of Thrones. You know, there's a two-way tie, and I have to tell you about. The first was that one, that the boy who literally could have been me at 11 that just started voguing to the gods behind that girl in the local, her local thing. That boy was like, I am so excited to see what recap show he does when he grows up. I want to, like, I'm just living for him and his little, he gave me life.
The reporter was broadcasting from the grand opening of a new shopping center. When you see that kid decides to strike a pose, he's voguing for the camera here.
He unleashed his inner diva during the reporter's stand-up. No word yet on whether anyone's offered him a contract.
He was camera ready. He knew all of his angles. He did not get stale. He was giving you beats. He was giving you a story of angles. Like, it was amazing. It was so amazing. So that was my first one. And another one, that this was like a baby one, but obviously Kim Kardashian break the internet. And when I saw the one where they replaced her bum, which, no shade to Kim Kardashian, because I, you know, you want to do that. I like it. It's very Kim Cattrall, like Sex and the City, like look back and see how great you looked. I support you. But when they replaced her bum with that Krispy Kreme donut, and it looked exactly the same. Did you see that?
Yes.
She was like, it was the same texture. It was the same shine. I loved that.
Did you play the Kim Kardashian game? A very good year for Kim Kardashian. She had the most successful app, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't want to play that game.
Also from Gay of Thrones and the TV Recap Revolution, it's Margaret Lyons.
I'm Margaret Lyons, and I write about TV for New York Magazine's Vulture.com.
Cool. So does that mean that your favorite thing that you saw on the internet this year might be a TV show?
Actually, sort of, yeah.
Okay.
My favorite thing on the internet this year is probably Transparent, which I watched through Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Is the only way to watch it.
Thanks, Prime. And they delivered your socks fast.
It's true. I literally do order socks in a pinch to get delivered the next day. I've done it, and I'll do it again.
Good.
The show is amazing. It's beautiful. It's about the patriarch of a family who comes out and says, you know, I was assigned male at birth, but I'm a woman and I want to live as a woman, and transitions, and sort of like the tailspin that throws her grown children into. And it's beautiful and
And of course, this character, this lead character, is played by
Jeffrey Tambor. Yeah.
Brilliant casting.
Yeah. Awesome casting. The whole show is very well cast. Judith Light plays the family's mom. Gabby Hoffman plays the youngest daughter. There's a lot of just, you know, gender politics and sexual identity exploration. And it's also like funny and goofy and just like really sumptuously filmed. Like it's very cozy and you feel very much like you're right in the thick of it.
It is cancer.
Daddy,
oh, my
are
God.
You dying? Just
you
tell
right.
us if you're dying.
I knew it was cancer.
Daddy, are you dying?
I don't think cancer. He has cancer.
Dad, just tell us
Dad,
if
you're dying. He looks good.
Thank you.
Wait, it doesn't matter how he looks. Remember Jill Goldberg? Yeah. She had a melanoma for 3 years. They couldn't see it. And boom, she's dead.
Jill Goldberg is dead?
Yeah.
No, and if daddy had cancer, you'd have the kind of where you looked at. Like the one, well, all your friends died of it.
Prostate.
What is the thing? Prostate.
Right.
Prostate cancer. Right. That's the one that you would probably
total
have.
Cancer.
Right?
Cancer. Super stuck.
Oh, my
goodness.
Yeah.
Never
nothing
know.
Nothing to be joking about.
Then that's beside
how many of your friends?
Stop it!
From Sideshow Episode 4, Gallery 1998, the Louvre of Fan Art. Have to have a French word. It's Jensen Karp.
My name is Jensen Karp. I own Gallery 1988 here in Los Angeles. And this year, by far, my favorite thing is Run the Jewels 2, which is the second album from a group called Run the Jewels, which is somewhat of a super group, super duo of Killer Mike and LP, who used to be in Company Flow.
Bunches and bunches, punches thrown into your frontless, oodles and noodles, bang bullets at suckers' noodles. Last album, Voodoo, proved that we was fucking brutal. I'm talking crazy, half past the clock is cuckoo.
And it was this was like a mixtape that they released online for free, but then they released it as a proper album, and it got amazing reviews. What's like?
Yeah, well, one of the more important parts of it, I mean, there's so many things that are involved in Run the Jewels that are so impressive for hip-hop. One being that these two guys are on, like, the third leg of their career each. Each of these dudes have had different reincarnations in the business, and if you know hip-hop well, that's impossible. When a rapper starts to fade away, he's gone forever. They don't just keep having new groups or new sort of identities to keep their career going. You know, everyone always talks about how Nas's first album was his best. When he was 17, 18 years old, Illmatic, you know, when the Beatles first came out, no one said Meet the Beatles was their best album ever. We don't allow, as hip-hop fans, for rappers to grow and grow old and mature. And Run the Jewels is the exact opposite. People are celebrating and sort of respecting these artists as they get older. Both of them are 39 years old, which is sort of a graveyard age for rap.
So, like, unlike Jay-Z, who's now in his 40s and is just rapping about Tom Ford and brands you haven't even heard of, these two 39-year-olds have just as much fire in them as they ever did, or maybe more, right?
I think more. I mean, I went to go see them here in Los Angeles, and to see these two guys smiling, so happy that this is working and so happy that people are listening. LP's career, ups and downs. I mean, he had this sort of definitive record label here in New York called Definitive Jux, this incredible record label. You know, critics loved it, but he wasn't able to really find a business model for it. And from interviews that I've read, this guy was sort of living on other people's couches for a second, and now he's making the most money of his career at 39 years old. And Killer Mike was always sort of a B-team player for Outkast. He would go on tour with them. He's on Whole Wide World. He's on a bunch of songs with them, but it never broke. He was never able sort of to cross over. And these guys, I mean, and now you have Killer Mike sort of being a voice of a generation with this sort of with the police brutality going on CNN recently. I mean, the things that are happening for both of these guys is you just sort of have to applaud it.
If you had to pick like a song that really captured the whole album for you, could you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably the easy answer, but the Close Your Eyes song, which features Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine, it just sort of shows you...
Tell us what the whole title is, Jensen, come on.
Yeah, the whole title is Close Your Eyes and Count to Fuck.
Fuck the slow-mo. Hey! As a slave, you protested to get in a fucking lookbook. Everything I scribbled like the anarchist cookbook. Look good, posing in the center for the cookbook. Black on black on black with a ski mask, that is my crook look. How you like my styling, bruh? Ain't nobody smiling, bruh. About to turn this motherfucker up like Rikers Island, bruh. Where my thuggers and my cripples and my blooders and my brothers? When you niggas gon' unite and kill the police motherfuckers? Or take over a jail, get them CO's hell. The burning of that sofa, goddamn, I love the smell. Blankets and pillow torching. Where the fuck the warden? And when you find them, we don't kill them, we just waterboard them. We killing them for freedom because they tortured us for boredom. And even if some good was that, fuck it, the Lord will sort them.
And finally, from Sideshow 13, Kudimon keeps making music through YouTube. It's Kudimon.
Wow. Well, we just talked, you know, I've seen so many stuff on the internet and my memory, I can't remember. I think it's part of the problem that you have so much, so many, that you I can't remember any of them, but I kept one aside. It's not like the what you would expect, you know, like something...
like something about cats.
No, it's not something about cats, and it's not... It's just something while I was working on the Fuyu, I ran across this. I was looking for strings for one of the tracks, and I found this class playing like a music class or something, uh-huh. and for some reason I kept coming back to hear it. It's... Well, you better hear it and see it yourself and see what you think.
Yeah, let me pull it up. What's it called?
It's called Symphony Orchestra, Pachelbel, Canon Rehearsal, and 9/25. I can send you a link if you want to.
I think I found it. That was easy. Okay, so it looks like a bunch of middle school kids in band rehearsal at school, and there's a teacher conducting in the front of the classroom.
Yeah, that's, you have to give it time, you know. I fell in love with it.
Oh my God. It keeps getting better and better. Why were they filming this?
Yeah, it's like, and you know, usually when I search for a particular instrument, like I just listen for 2 seconds and I see if it's on the scale or if it fits or anything and I move on. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
And for some reason I started this one and I found myself like leaning back and listening to it and playing it again. And I don't know, I think there's something in, and I kept coming back to listen to it. There's something beautiful about it, and I think this is like the best music teacher ever. Ever. He's like so devoted, you know, and it sounds so terrible, but he's still there, and I would give it up, you know, or like after 2 lessons I would say, okay, forget about it, let's learn something else.
Right. So it's got 87 views. How many of those are from you?
Probably 80.
Thanks for listening to Sideshow. If you want to see my favorite internet from 2014, I'd recommend checking out the 16 episodes that came before this one. You can see all the stuff everyone discussed in this episode at pri.org/soundworks. And if you want to share your favorite stuff from the year, drop it in a comment or tweet it at Sideshow. It takes a village to raise a Sideshow. Nitam Olad, David Krasnow, Jenny Lawton, and Kathy Merritt are the leaders of that village. John Delore, Kyle Lairfall, Julie Whitaker, and James Ramsey are the village wizards. And Tessa Stewart, Nick Fountain, and Greg Rosalski are the village people. Thanks to everyone at 360, Jules, Matt, Eric, Shruti, Krista, Alana, Amira, Scott, and Zoe. And thank you for Sirius. Happy New Year. Kiss somebody, but ask first.
Sideshow is supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
I'm Amy Pearl. Thanks for listening.